So our title is not taken from Kings, but from the book of Numbers, in that section where it says that the giants in the land would be bread for them. In the second part, only rebel not you against the Lord, neither fear you the people of the land. So we're not to fear the trials. That's what we're being told. The fiery trials, the giants in our land that are bread for us. That's what this story is about. And of course, that's the story throughout the Word of God. All of our trials, everything that happens in our life and around us, in our families, is for our sakes to strengthen us, to show us that we're more than conquerors through Christ, that we can be strengthened and that we can overcome. So the Lord has to give us this time of testing and proving the metal that we are in His hands so that we can glorify Him and glorify our Father with lives that are subject unto Him. 1 Kings 2, verses 34 to 46. So Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, went up and fell upon him and slew him, and he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. This is speaking of Joab from last week. And the king put Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, in his room over the host, and Zadok, the priest, did the king put in the room of Abiathar. And the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, build thee a house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and go not forth thence any whither. For it shall be that on the day that you go out and pass over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. Thy blood shall be upon thine own head. And Shimei said unto the king, the saying is good, as my lord the king has said, so will thy servant do. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. And it came to pass at the end of 3 years, that two of the servants of Shimei ran away unto Achish, son of Maacah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, behold, thy servants be in Gath. And Shimei arose and saddled his ass and went to Gath to Achish to seek his servants. And Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. And it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. And the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, did I not make thee to swear by the Lord and protested unto thee, saying, know for a certain on the day that you go out and walk abroad any whither, that thou shalt surely die. And thou said unto me, the word that I have heard is good. Why then have you not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I have charged with thee? The king said moreover to Shimei, you knoweth all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to, that you did to David, my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head, and King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be blessed before the Lord forever. So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him that he died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. In this section of Kings, we'll be reminded of how our former father and mother, who represents Satan and the Babylonian churches of this world, our former mother, who we come out of, do not comprehend how the Lord is seeking an occasion against the Philistines in our life. Judges 14:4. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. The heart that God rules over in humanity is corrupt and against him. And yet thy corruption cannot prevent God from doing exactly what he has ordained from the foundation of the world, typified by the creation week. Because he is sovereign over all things, the light and the dark, the making of peace and the creating of evil. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, we know the Lord knows it because he's created, as we just read, light and dark. And he makes peace and creates evil. So he knows the heart of man. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. In this section of Kings, we will see how it is within a body that operates under laws that he has ordained, and that's James 4:12, that God is doing exactly what he wants according to the counsel of his own will. And that is for our sakes that he is doing these things as he teaches his children who have his Holy Spirit, what those stories of old are telling us about ourselves and the salvational process that we are blessed to be a part of in this age. That process is understood by comparing spiritual things with spiritual by using the physical events that are understood by those who are blessed to be given eyes to see and ears to hear. There's one lawgiver who's able to save and to destroy. Who are you that judges another? In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So it's the keeping, of course, it's the abiding, it's going through those trials that we talked about earlier, that perfect and bring us unto perfection on the third day through Christ. The progression of the destruction of the enemies of King David, and that's why, you know, it was 3 days that is mentioned there in the first verse. 3 years, rather. The progression of the destruction of the enemies of King David and the manner in which vengeance, which is of the Lord, is executed, is all written for our sakes upon whom the end of the ages have come. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. And that's to be understood inwardly and outwardly. We don't beat up the manservant. We don't try to do God's work. He knows how to humble us. But rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And that fits in with the thought that we don't grow weary of his chastening. Don't grow weary because you know he's doing it. God loves us and he's receiving us through that process. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. Think inwardly. After you've been chastened and scourged, don't get disheartened. Go to the word of God. Put that ointment on your eyes. Put that salve on your eyes and the ointment on your ears. Or the salve on your ears, I suppose it is. But take care to go back to the word, and the Lord will be there mercifully to heal and take care of us. In the end, that's what he wants us to do, to realize. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And that's really just telling us that that's how our old man is destroyed, by the word of God. That's the fire that is God's word. Now, all these things happen unto them for examples, on samples, tupos, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. All of these stories, everything we read in the Bible. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel is written to remind us there is an appointed time when the Philistines have dominion over Israel within us, and that it will be little and by little that this dominion will be taken away as the Lord gives us increase. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. And that would be the beast of pride and self-righteousness, thinking that we had something to do with clearing those beasts from the land. By little and little, I will drive them out from before thee, until you be increased and inherit the land. So that's the goal, and God will cause us to inherit the land, in this sense, meaning eternal life, being able to endure unto the end. The three principal beasts that we have been reading about in these first couple of chapters of Kings that were driven out and destroyed in Solomon's time are types of what is in us. So just to be clear, the land that we inherit, of course, it's the earnest that we have now, and it's the promised land, but enduring into the end, recognizing that we have this hope within us, gives us that hope and faith to believe that there's a resurrection at the end of this. There's a reason why we go through what we go through, right to the very last breath, but we will, through Jesus Christ, endure. The three principal beasts that we have been reading about in these first couple of chapters of Kings that were driven out and destroyed in Solomon's time are types of what is in us: Adonijah, Joab, and Shimei. And there's many more, but these were the three ones that we were, principal ones that we were looking at. Revealing in type and shadow how God's kingdom is going to be established in the elect's life. The kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon, and in so doing, the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. through the destruction of those beasts or giants that will be bred for us. Only rebel you not against the Lord, which is our title, neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bred for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. So Benaiah, the first verse, 1 Kings 2:34, the son of Jehoiada went up and fell upon him and slew him, and he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. Our first verse tells us that Jehovah has built. We remember Benaiah means Jehovah has built because Jehovah knows, which is what Jehoiada means. And what he knows, as was discussed in our introduction, is all things. Nothing is hidden from him with whom we have to do. It is a sovereign, all-knowing God who sent Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, up to fall upon Joab to slay him. Just as God's elect are being sent today to aid each other in the destruction of our old man within, and will be sent to do the same thing to all of humanity, starting with the judgment that is upon each of us that slays our old man day after day as we die daily. That's what we have to remember and not grow weary of that, because that's what's purifying the bride of Christ. That witness will be used of God, and our labor is primarily for each other in the Lord. But it is also an unfolding witness that in time will show that our labors were not in vain. In the day that the rest of the world's visitation will occur, if we're given to glorify God today by living lives that are obedient and not corrupt. John 20:21, then said Jesus to them, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. For the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?" That's okay. Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Finally, Job was buried in his own house in the wilderness, revealing that he was a type of our old man, our flesh and blood that cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and must die in his own house in the field or the wilderness, which is the world. His own house is symbolic of our own righteousness, which is being destroyed in the household of God, or the woman who fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,203 score days. It's that feeding that gives us the ability to put off our flesh, our own house, so we can live and die unto the Lord. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,203 score days. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. And the verse that comes to mind, Christ says, you know, after it's all said and done, what do? Well, we say to ourselves, if I'm living for Christ and I'm dying for Christ, I'm an unprofitable servant. I did that which was expected of me, because it was Christ in me, working in me both to will and to do of our Father's good pleasure. And that should greatly encourage us, because we know that the Lord has a plan and he has called us to be part of that plan together. Verse 35, and the king put Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, in his room over the host, and Zadok the priest did the king put in the room of Abiathar. After Joab's death, the king put Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, in his room over the host, which is a shadow of what happens to us when we decrease and Christ increases in us. Being in the king's room is typical of being raised in heavenly places, where we are being worked with as his workmanship that is being built up by God, Jehovah has built, or Yahweh has built, so that we can know the Lord, or rather, be known of him, Jehoiada. Jehovah knows, which is what that word means. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of him, and that's why it's said that way, because God already knew his plans for us from the foundation of the world. He knew. How turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? So that was a strong wake-up call for Paul telling the church, what are you doing? Why are you trusting in the law again instead of recognizing that you're living by faith? Well, it was a lack of faith, and that was being worked out. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And that will require the faith of Christ and the grace of God to work with that faith to mature us in this life. Prior to being told that we are God's workmanship in Ephesians 2:10, we are reminded that by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The name Zadok represents the righteousness of Christ that will rule over the once faithful to the king, Abiathar, who would later be found supporting the rebellious actions of Adonijah. Abiathar's heresies was manifest, and Zadok's life typifies those who were approved or accepted in the beloved, which was made known at the expense of Abiathar. So these are just the players of God. This is what God wrote. It's all type and shadow. None of those old covenant people, of course, will be in the first resurrection, but the stories are written for our sakes to show us clearly there's two groups here. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. So God makes that manifest who he has made accepted in the beloved, and he's doing it. It's a work of God. Verse 36, and the king sent and called for Shimei, and said unto him, build thee a house in Jerusalem, and dwell there, and go not forth thence any whither. This is a section of our study where it becomes very apparent for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear that God was seeking an occasion against Shimei, who was told to do one thing, but was caused to err in such a way it cost him his life. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. O Lord, why have you made us to err from your ways and hardened our hearts from your fear? Return, for your servant's sake, the tribes of thine inheritance. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of God that shows mercy. Nay, but O man, and this goes back to that verse in Isaiah, Christ or the Father could say this to Isaiah just as easily as he could say it to anyone else. Nay, but O man, who are you that replies against God? Shall a thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? Why did you cause me to err and sin? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? And it's not easy. It's not easy for the flesh when we sin and we fall to have to say, well, God caused that, but he did. He did, and that's what we're learning, and that gives us great peace because we see his sovereign hand and the mercy and the love if we will be granted to confess and just admit those iniquities and the sin that is working in our members, but that the Lord is giving us victory over, to give us bread, to give us strength, to get to the next trial, to understand that we're growing together through these things as a body of Christ. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God in that relationship. On them which fell, severity, now outwardly, but inwardly too, but toward thee, goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Well, it's very specifically speaking of two groups, but there's an inward application there too. But we read, or despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. That's the goodness. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. God's goodness is leading us to repentance. And it's a good work. And God says that's what we need to hold fast to. That's a good work. As opposed to just denying that there's anything that needs to be changed or repented of or any growth. We need to really rejoice and thank God that he's judging us and making the bride ready. And he will. Our story starts off with Solomon commanding Shimei to go and build thee a house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and go not forth thence any whither. this is the same as Christ telling the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. Shimei was told, go not forth thence anywhither, which is symbolic of abiding in the word of God, where the Lord alone can build thee a house in Jerusalem, Jerusalem above, the mother of us all. Shimei rebels against the commandment of the king because he is a type of Lot's wife who looks back, or a type of Demas, Crescens, and Titus who love this present world. In verse 37, for it shall be that on the day that you go out and pass over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. Thy blood shall be upon thine own head. It was inevitable that Shimei was going to rebel, and that was for our sakes, to remind us that unless the Lord builds the spiritual house for us in Jerusalem above, we, like Shimei, will pass over the brook Kidron, a place of spiritual darkness that is represented in the Old Covenant as a cloud of darkness that separated the Egyptians from the Israelites. And there's the word Kidron, dusky, dark, from H6937, dusky. Exodus 14, verses 19 and 20. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night and to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Walk in the light, in other words, and that's where we will be cleansed, by staying in the word, coming together often, and that light will cleanse us. But if your eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of evil, full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Your perception, let it be understood that it's understood through the dying daily process. That's our right perspective, that it's through much tribulation, because we can't go through this life without being afflicted and having persecution and tribulation, but we acknowledge God's mercy in the middle of that, because that's how the new man's being formed. Israel being given a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night is symbolic language telling us that God will make spiritual provision for those who are being dragged to Christ in this age, with both of those lights, whether it be through the experience of evil represented by the night, or are walking during the day that has 12 hours when we are able to labor while it is day. The Lord will be in the midst of these lights for our good, to give them light to go by day and night, being the one who formed the light and creates darkness that light comes out of. He is the one who makes peace that passes all understanding in our heavens, and creates evil that are all for our sakes, for the fashioning of the new man in Christ, as our flesh is humbled through this life of much tribulation. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life, no matter where we are, whether it's night or day, whether we're going through trial, whether we're in the valley of the shadow of death, whether we're in the valley or whether we're on the mountain, when things are going great, the Lord will be there for his elect. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. The severity and goodness of God is shown in this separation of light and darkness, highlighted with these two principal parties involved in the story, the Israelites and the Egyptian armies that were pursuing them. The Israelites will completely fall 7 times as a type of the elect coming out of Babylon, being completely convinced that we are the chief of sinners and yet able to overcome through Christ. Whereas the flesh that cannot inherit the kingdom, both our carnal thoughts, the sin in our members that Christ has to free us from, as well as those who were not ordained to be set free from the bondage of sin in this life, the sin in their members, that is described as all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. That's simply speaking of the flesh of all men. Because of those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. In Numbers 14, verses we just read, we read in type and shadow of those who tasted of the heavenly things of God and partook of his wonderful works, found in Hebrews 6, verses 4 and 6. And yet God hardened their hearts and said, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them provoke me to see it. Like we said, the Lord was causing them to have such a heart. O Lord, why have you made us to err from your ways and harden our hearts from your fear? Return for your servant's sake the tribes of thine inheritance. Knowing God is sovereign helps us see the mercy that is unfolding in the severity and goodness that he causes, as we learn to trust that it is all for a good purpose in the end, that God will use to show mercy to all mankind in time. Hebrews 6, verses 4 to 6, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, which is being typified here in the story of Shimei, and have tasted the good word of God, he went up to Jerusalem for 3 years, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again under repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. God hardened their hearts to do that, just as he did Shimei, who knew that it was a life and death action that he was taking, going after those servants. In Romans 10, verses 1 to 4, Paul expresses his desire for Israel to be saved. And at that time, knew that this would only be possible through Christ, who is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. This reminds us of how Christ loved the rich young ruler, but knew that he could not at this time follow him. Christ's example shows us how we are to show love to the unbelieving by being about our Father's business of preaching the kingdom of God, even as we obey this commandment, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. So let me add there that we do good unto all men, but especially unto the household of faith. We preach the gospel unto all men by our witness. And of course, we do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith. Christ's witness to the rich young ruler, and that was enough. In other words, we are commanded to do good unto all men, especially unto the household of faith, but not entangling ourselves with the affairs of this world as a good soldier for Christ. Christ knew the Father had to drag the rich young ruler unto him and waited on God to do that. To do anything other than that would have been entangling himself in a spiritual battle that God tells us not to engage in. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And it's hard to see our loved ones and people around us that we want to talk to and bring. God says, wait on the Lord, and if he has plans for them, you'll know soon enough. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. The blood shall be upon thine own head is the result of Shimei not having power to resist sin under the shedding of blood. His Adamic nature was unable to resist under the shedding of blood, as Christ did, on the cross. And so the blood of, and not just on the cross, Christ resisted the Adamic nature his whole life. He never sinned. And so the blood by other men that he killed was upon thine own head, and not the blood of Christ, which would symbolize the power that God gives us to overcome and repent of the spirit of hating our brother without cause. Shimei can't stop his flesh from going where he feels is more important than the commandment of the king, a witness of what our old man does, independent of and against Christ. If Christ is our head, then we are more than conquerors through him, as we are led by his spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world, crying out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So look at these verses. Who, in the days of his flesh, remember, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. And then Malachi 3:16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And that's what we pray the Lord will do. So we keep thinking upon the things that are pure and honest, lovely and just, the Christ-centric things that help us through this life and help each other. So we're growing as a body of Christ. That's how each joint supplies. We don't know what we're providing for the body in those times that we're not together, when we're studying, when we're meditating, when we're praying. We bring that back to the body of Christ, and that's how a healthy body works. We're always growing together. And Shimei said unto the king, verse 38, saying, the saying is good, as my lord the king has said, so will thy servant do. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. Many are called to dwell in Jerusalem for many days. And while we are there, we have the best of intentions, saying, the saying is good, as my lord the king has said, so will thy servant do. But God is showing us that Shimei is presumptuous to say, so will thy servant do, as opposed to saying these words when we go to build a house in Jerusalem or a city such as that. So first of all, Psalms 19:13, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. So what is that? That self-righteousness, and it's in all of us unless the Lord drives it out of us, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, going back to days, months, times, and years, or just thinking that your thoughts are independent of God, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Go to now. This is what he didn't do. You that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. He left the city where that could have happened. And type in shadow. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. In verse 39, and it came to pass at the end of 3 years that two of the servants of Shimei ran away unto Achish, son of Maacah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, behold, thy servants be in Gath. Shimei was unwilling to lose two of the servants that witnesses to that part of us that we go back into the world, two servants, except the Lord give us the power through Christ to forget what is behind us and reach forth unto those things which are before. Unlike just Lot, Shimei could not resist going after his servants, who are a type of helpmeet for him, as Lot's wife would have been for him. He simply cannot resist the urge to run away unto Achish, son of Maacah, king of Gath, and is unwilling to give up everything for the kingdom's sake in type and shadow. Remember Lot's wife, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And every one that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold. And shall inherit everlasting life, and will also inherit those things which they had forsaken. So we have to keep that in mind. There's a reason why we lose so much in this life. because God says it's all going to come back, and it'll be purified, and it'll be glorious. It'll come back a hundredfold, 10 times 10. All of the flesh, all of humanity will be our inheritance. By going toward Gath, like crossing the brook of Kidron, there is only going to be blackness and no light perceived at this place of the winepress. The word Achish means I will blacken. And so the winepress that the word Gath means is the negative example of a winepress, being the winepress of Babylon, that darkens the hearts and minds of those who partake of it and seek it out, as Shimei did in type and shadow. Those are the words Achish, I will blacken, and Gath is winepress. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. We all do until we don't. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. First Kings 2, verse 4. And Shimei rose and saddled his ass and went to Gath to Achish to seek his servants. And Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. These actions of Shimei are diametrically opposed to those of Christ, who went into Jerusalem on the foal of an ass, saddled with the faith of God and a lowly spirit that made it possible for this triumphant entry to manifest for Zion's sake, the elect's sake. And of course, that's what God is working within us, so we can have that same triumphant entry through Jesus Christ, who's riding us, that beast, into new Jerusalem above. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the King comes unto thee. But we know John 6:44 says, no man comes unto the Son, except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And that's why we're rejoicing, because we know the Lord's coming, but the Father is dragging us to him. He is just in having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, speaking of the elect. Behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Every word is significant in this sentence. Shimei rose, meaning his flesh rose up, and saddled his ass, meaning he was not putting his burdens on Christ, which 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you, as we should, but was rather seeking his servants, meaning his own power, that which belonged to him, as opposed to being obedient unto the King by not leaving his first estate and continuing on in seeking the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, of course, in type and shadow. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. His flesh, like all flesh, is persistent and sought out the idol of his heart, his two servants that represent Shimei's own strength, and brought it back to Jerusalem, feeling very justified in his actions, like King Saul. And we'll read that. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I perform the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Verses 41, 42. And it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. And the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, Did I not make you to swear by the Lord and protested unto thee, saying, know for a certain on the day that you go out and walk abroad any whither, thou shalt surely die. And you said unto me, the word that I have heard is good. This is a section of our study that truly highlights how God is showing us how rebellious our hearts are against the king's commandments. Did I not make you to swear by the Lord and protest it unto thee, saying, know for certain on the day that you go out and walk abroad any whither, you shall surely die. And how it is only by grace through faith that we can receive the gift from God of being more than conquerors through Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And really, that's the essence of the story. We're looking at what we would do except for the grace of God and the faith of Christ. All Shimei had to do is only rebel not you against the Lord, neither fear you the Lord, the people of the land. But just so we are perfectly clear that none of us can do the right thing unless the Lord gives us the power to do so. Solomon goes on to say how clear his instructions were to him and reminds Shimei of his absolute compliance and well-intentioned heart. On that day you go out and walk abroad anywhither, that thou shalt surely die. And you said unto me, the word that I have heard is good. This is just as Cain did with the instruction from the Lord to do good. He also could not obey the commands of the Lord, as Abel was granted to, who is a type of the elect that have God's power given to them to overcome. We are becoming that blood offering or burnt offering as we become living sacrifices unto God, as opposed to first operating in our own righteousness. Symbolized by the offering of the field, the world that Cain offered, and was not accepted because it was not upon a burnt offering. Just like King Saul sparing Agag and the best of the sheep, oxen, fatlings, and lambs. And just like Shimei, gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. In the verses we are reading tonight, it is a sound pattern that tells us who we are until we are not by the grace of God. 1 Chronicles 28:19-20, and all this said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Now let them put away their whoredom and the carcasses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever. Thou son of man, show the house to the house, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities. This is all part of the pattern. And let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house. So if we are granted repentance, Romans 2:4, God's going to show us more of the form of the house, the pattern, and the fashion thereof, and the goings out thereof, how we live amongst each other as a body of Christ, many members, one body, same spirit, and the comings in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and do them. Thank you. Yeah, and how I make that better. So that's all talking about the pattern. Let them measure the pattern, which we know is being manifested in the church. The knowledge of God is the pattern. That's the plummet, and that's what's making it possible for us to become Jesus Christ, to have the mind of Christ. Oh my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies, which is to have the righteousness of Christ within us. It's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So that really clears up a lot of things in our heavens when we realize, well, why did God call us? Why are we the weak of the world? Because he loves us, and because he wants the world to see that he loves us so much that he finishes this work within. This is the pattern. He finishes the work in us first, and then we show that same mercy to the rest of the world. Verses 43 and 44. Why then have you not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I charged thee with? The king said moreover to Shimei, you know all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to, and you did to David, and that thou did to David, my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head. The question posed to Shimei, why then have you not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I have charged thee with? Of verse 43 is answered in verse 44 with Solomon's words. You know all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to, that you did to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head. So the spots of this labor is not going to change because God does not want it to change. Solomon is putting this mirror in front of Shimei's face by saying these words, as the Lord does for us when we read, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We know that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And the only one who can really know it and give us the ability to keep the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I have charged thee with is Christ. And in us, our hope of glory, who gives us power to rule over sin that is constantly at the gate of our heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Well, it's Christ who's working in us both to will and to do. Yes, it's that. That's what we're being told, that he's trying the reins and he's causing us to sin. And then he's working that in our lives for our good. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope of obedience, that we can overcome that beast and we can be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And that's our hope. It is because of all the wicked that we did to Christ, typified in the part of the scripture that says that thou did to David my father, and through God's chastening and scourging, typified in the following part of that verse, therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head, that we come to see that we are the man and must reap what we sow. That's just how God's made us. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have not done it unto me. That's us in our appointed time, and less you have done it unto me. Right? Matthew 25:45, then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So does that tell us that we can't stop, that we can stop reaping evil? No, we can't. We will stop after we do what we do, and then God will chasten us and correct us if we are his in the say. So don't be deceived. God is not mocked. He knows what we're going to do. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. We are going to sow to our flesh until we stop. Little and by little, he's going to drive that process, those beasts out of us, and they will be bred for us because we'll see and recognize his sovereignty over the whole process. Verses 45 and 46, the last two verses. King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. And of course, this is what we're talking about. So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, that he died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. Our last two hope-filled verses tell us that in the end, it will all work out for all of humanity, because God will bless his creation and save everyone, so that the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. And those are our verses, of course, that talk about there's a point unto when man wants to die and then the resurrection. Or as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. And for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the savior of all men, especially of those that believe. And that trust, of course, is formed as a result of the labor and the suffering that we go through. We put off our flesh, but then we trust God even more because we see him in the midst of that struggle. He helps us. 1 John 2:2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. In order for the kingdom to be established within us today in earnest, Christ must command Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, to come out and fall upon our old man that he died. It is in that destruction of our old man that the new man is being birthed. God knows, Jehoiada, how to start and finish this process within all people, because all men will be saved in time. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. So his hating of his life would have been symbolically evident by staying in Jerusalem and abiding there and dying daily and recognizing the value of suffering with the people of God. But it wasn't given to him because he was representing our carnal, our flesh, and the first man, Adam, that has to die. Psalms 127:1, except a song of degrees for Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, Jah has built. They labor in vain that built it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Jah has built, that's Benaiah. And Jehovah known is Jehoiada. The root of the word Jehovah knows and Jehovah known makes this verse in the new covenant very bright for us as we consider that we are known of God as his workmanship that he is building up. So it's very encouraging. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage, being under the law? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So there's that word to know, and it's in the cow, all of these different things, to perceive, all ongoing, to be instructed, to cause to know all what the Lord is doing within the body of Christ. He is our wisdom, and it's manifested in the body of Christ in the church. The good news, therefore, is that this is going to happen, and we will, through the power of God's Holy Spirit, see the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. And as we go forward in faith, being accepted in the Beloved, and even though sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. If you do well, shall it not be accepted? And we can't do well, but through Christ, through whom we're accepted, we can do well. And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Christ in us makes it possible for us to be more than conquerors, ruling over sin that lies at the door. And that's our study for tonight. Thank you all for coming up.